Hey, and welcome to the Media Obscura podcast. We're a show dedicated to watching and reviewing obscure movies and television. On today's episode, we're going to be covering the 1982 film, The Man Who Saved the World, better known as Turkish Star Wars. I'm your host, Nick, and I'm joined today by my faithful co-hosts, Mike and Raekwon.
Yes, I'm second.
What was that?
I can hear the loss of patience in this call.
That's right.
For everyone listening, this is like the fifth time we've started this episode because we kept getting interrupted or I just kept having us restart. I'm losing my mind in quarantine, quite frankly.
Hole in the wall now. There's a llama yelling for some reason. I don't know where the llama came from, but shit's going down.
Yeah, so basically quarantine's been just treating us really great. Guys, do you even know how long we've been in quarantine already? I've actually lost track of time.
Is it 3 days? It's still March, right?
It's April. Unless you recorded your bit like months ago, Mike. Like you recorded your bit a week or two ago and we've just put the track in with zero regard for that. Yeah, I think it's like it's April 9th or 10th right now as we record this. I haven't been anywhere in a month.
Same.
Like, actually a month.
I've been to a grocery store, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a grocery store and I've gone, I don't know if you guys have been taking like small local walks where like you're situated at, but I've been taking like small walks every day.
We walk the dogs around the block, so that's something.
That counts, yeah.
Yeah, I just walk my dog. That's it.
You walking Ziggy, Nick?
No.
He's rolling down the road.
Just roll her down the road. She's a keg. Yeah, anyway, today we're talking about Turkish Star Wars. A movie that I absolutely love. This movie is like a deity almost. It's almost like this godly figure this isn't a joke. It's a godly figure amongst like B-movie, midnight movie, cult film aficionados. It's a beloved movie, like genuinely. People actually fucking get nuts to this shit.
I don't see why. It hurts my brain watching it. I watched it twice and it hurts.
You two did not like this movie. This is the second time that I saw it. Leading up to today, and I don't know, I liked it both times.
But what makes Turkish Star Wars so interesting? What makes it a big deal? Just because it's Turkish, or what's the reason, Nick?
Well, actually, yes, kind of to that first one. I know you were joking, but like, basically, the thing is, in the 80s, Turkey had a huge like mockbuster market, where basically mockbusters are movies that look at popular films in America or just popular films in general and then do everything they can to cash in on the success of that film. So in the case of The Man Who Saved the World, clearly it was cashing in on Star Wars, hence the nickname Turkish Star Wars. It's literally a genre. But like the thing that made this movie like so legendary and so unique is the fact that it doesn't actually rip off Star Wars necessarily. It just straight up uses footage from the movie in its opening scene. And there's actually a reason for it, but I'll get into that in a sec. What were you going to say?
I was going to say they use the footage from Star Wars, but the only people that are in it is the ceremony at the end of The New Hope of when they're getting the award, and that's the back. Well, actually, no, never mind. There's also the plant where they were sitting there thinking about how to attack the Death Star. But I'm like, yeah, there's no individual scenes. It's all wide shots of multiple people or just like fight scenes out in space.
Yeah, it's all like the space footage and stuff like that. And the reason why this... So that's what this movie's made of, by the way. Like the special effect shots are all that. It's all footage from Star Wars that's just been illegally like stolen and put into it. There's also stock footage from like Ben-Hur and newsreels from the space race, of all things. I thought you might have gotten a kick out of that, Mike.
I saw that, Nick. I saw that right away. That was from the space race.
Yeah, I think that was like of a Russian missile launch or something, or a rocket launch.
I thought it was one of the Gemini missions.
It could have been like Gemini. I don't know. But yeah, that's what the special effects in this movie are made of, and there's a reason why it was done like that. They didn't actually decide to just straight up steal copyrighted footage, believe it or not. The music, that was a conscious effort, and that happened all the time in like Turkish mockbusters from back in the day. But the use of the footage was actually because they had built all these elaborate sets and stuff, and they actually had a budget of like $300,000 to make this movie and to have like actual space battles and stuff like that in it. Only they had built everything on like a beach or something, and a storm had completely destroyed all of their props.
Oh, so they first initially didn't want to steal to use space Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, exactly. They kind of just got forced into doing it because like they had lost their entire budget. They wouldn't have been able to make the movie. But then the director of the film was just like, I got this, guys.
She's like, I got this. I'll just steal content.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, so this movie is like infamous, you know, for basically it starts off with like a space battle, right? And the space battle is literally people standing in front of a projector just playing Star Wars.
Oh, God.
And yeah, no, that could have all been like, had the original set not been destroyed, that wouldn't have been the case like at all.
You know? Now I feel a little bad now that I was harshing on it more because of that. But now I understand the reason why behind it. At least that makes sense. I feel bad. But the music, on the other hand, is just blatantly stolen. And then that's their
fault. That was just like a thing. They were just like, well, we need music. All right, put the fucking Battlestar Galactica and Indiana Jones theme there.
And Star Wars music, too. Because all the love scenes from Star Wars were in there.
Do they really? I didn't hear any Star Wars music.
There was a ton of Star Wars music.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, I must have.
But the same song, though.
Gotcha. I must have missed that.
So, but you had the pleasure of watching, Nick. You got to watch the movie. I mean, the first time you saw it, you got to see it without subtitles. Okay, fine. But then this time, you got to watch it with subtitles. Me, I watched it the first half of the movie. And this is an hour, like 40-minute movie. I watched the first half of the movie without subtitles.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you told me.
No, well, okay, I didn't. No, you shut the goddamn hell up. Don't pin me for this.
Shut
Don't be like,
mouth.
And then you told me to put the subtitles on. No. I texted you while I was watching the movie a full day before you, because I like to be prepared. And I told you, Mike, for the love of God, dear friend, oh sunshine of my life, oh forbidden apple, I will squish, then turn into applesauce and put on my food.
Oh my God.
Watch the movie with subtitles. And then the next day you texted me saying that you were lost without the subtitles, and I was like, you idiot! Put the fucking subtitles on, Mike.
Oh my God, Nick is getting angry.
No. That was actually my response when you texted me that you were confused.
Yeah, I was.
And then you put the subtitles on. That's all. I'm just trying to correct you. Okay.
So for my first half of the movie, I had written down in Trello, because in the last episode we recorded, if you had listened to it, we said that Rang Kwan and Nick would be watching it in subtitles, and I wouldn't, and I saw it without subtitles, and Rang Kwan actually saw it without subtitles for a bit too, and so I wrote down in Trello what the hell was going on in the movie, and they're all like three words long. And the first thing I got, okay, I'm like, about a space race, ? Why are there so many repeating scenes? This is the Death Star, so something about evil empire. 3 minutes in, New Hope. Stormtroopers or knights. Let's see. Some weird stuff. So many explosions.
I guess we should describe what you're trying to make sense of while we're
now they're in Egypt. Now they're in Egypt, so it's not in a galaxy far away a long time ago. And I went, Freemasons? That's so symbols. So they're fighting sand people. Why the fuck is there Indiana Jones music? So gladiators with nunchucks. That's my notes pretty much, trying to figure out what the hell was going on.
That sounds about right, actually.
And there's more, but it's just bad. Yeah.
So, I guess we should backtrack and make sense of that really quick. So, the actual plot...
Can you?
Yeah, no, I actually got the plot. Here, I'll pull up my notes. Thank you very much. So
eloquently made.
No, they're really not. They were dictated onto an iPad while I was drinking and watching this. So, the movie actually starts off with like 5 minutes of exposition, but it's not done in like the style of Star Wars with like an opening crawl or anything, right? It's done, of all things, with just narration, like just a straight up monologue. And it's all over Star Wars stock footage, as well as footage of people standing in front of Star Wars stock footage as if they're like piloting X-Wings and stuff.
Right.
So, According to the plot of this movie, the Earth went through evolution and then for some reason became primitive again, but also evolved enough to get technology. And then there was a space race, Mike. And yes. Then Star Wars, followed by some sort of weapon that needed to be destroyed by Turkish warriors. That's what they refer to them as in the movie, Turkish warriors.
But they say that the human race, all the ethnicities, religions, races, countries, they all became one. And human beings became like this one melting pot of people. And they're just like one specific species.
But Turkish warriors. So anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
The Turkish warriors go to the Death Star to destroy it, I think.
That's a Death Star. It's not really a Death Star.
Yeah, it's not really much of a Death Star. But basically they go to it because there is an evil wizard on the Death Star, I think. I'm going to follow up a lot of sentences with I think today. I'm just saying that from now.
Yeah, I think that's a safe way to go.
Yeah, there's an evil wizard on this Death Star, I think, and he wants a human brain because having a human brain will allow him to conquer the world. Only I'm really confused because the world he's referring to is Earth, but the opening narration also said that Earth had been destroyed and turned into a series of asteroids that people populated.
Yeah, I was confused by that too.
So, okay. Yeah. I thought they just like a piece of the Earth just broke off, so there was two separate like half Earths. And one humans did something and then the other humans did something else.
That makes a lot more sense.
I thought he just kept saying the world, but he wanted to like take over the universe because he did destroy a couple planets, right?
Yeah, like, something like that.
He's a wizard that got immortality because I think because the humans went from the future era to the galaxy era, and the solar system was no longer the solar system. It was the galaxy system, and the wizard wanted to get more powerful, and he needed the last thing to get powerful was the brain of a human, I think. And then it was like to get, because he had to break the willpower and whatever hell that was in the mind to get it. And he also drinks blood human juice.
Human juice.
I know he was trying to get powerful with the human brain, and he was trying to get the brain from. It was like a brain in a box. It wasn't like the brain from the heroes.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah,
I thought he needed the human brain to unlock the secrets of like human willpower. That's what he kept mentioning, willpower. So I was like, oh, he needs it so he can figure out why humans are so strong in their will or something. Sound like an anime villain or something like that.
That makes more sense.
Sorry, I just disassociated really hard. All I heard was Raekwon say willpower, and now all I'm thinking of the wizard. All I'm thinking about is the wizard like ushering Will Smith into his lair and being like, "Yes, you see, with the power of the human brain, I'll be able to take over the world." And then there's like something hidden under a curtain, and he pulls the curtain, and it's a human head with a projector just playing Star Wars on the wall. Like, the projector's coming out of his eyes, and Will Smith is just like, "Dear God, that is a human head.
That is a human head."
You know, it's me when I'm referencing Wild Wild West.
Oh, I love Wild Wild.
Same.
Honestly, Wild Wild West is an underrated movie. I said it. I know it was like a huge box office bomb, blah, blah, blah. I liked it.
I liked it too.
Cool.
It's not my least favorite
Yes,
Will Smith
I am
movie.
The master of the mechanical stuff.
That's honestly the wizard in this, because what kind of a wizard needs a fucking Death Star? I'm sorry, that makes
when he's in like immortal and bullshit and
exactly if he's immortal, like, okay, just when I think of wizards, I think of like, you know, no technology, and when I think of Star Wars and the Death Star, I'm like, oh word, computers. Like, there's such a big disconnect, and it's just so weird.
I mean, he's a galaxy era wizard, so.
Okay, he's a galaxy era wizard. That's
immortal galaxy era wizard.
Can I make that my job title on LinkedIn?
Yes. Not from Earth.
Galaxy era wizard.
There like, you go. Jesus. Also, that's like you're putting in your resume. I got this degree. I've worked for this company. I'm a galaxy wizard.
I go to the medieval times, but I also use a smartphone while I'm there.
That sounds like some kind of rank in Dungeons and Dragons. Like,
galaxy wizard.
Like, yeah, I'm a galaxy arrow wizard. Like, it sounds like such an accomplishment.
Right, as you push your glasses up with your fingertip. I'm a galaxy arrow wizard. It's no biggie.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I rolled a d20.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so the villain is after a human brain, and he basically is surprised by like the two heroes of the show because he says, and I quote, "They learned how to use the brain as energy at some point."
Mm-hmm. It was the end of the movie.
No, it isn't.
Well, he melts the brain down.
No, that's in the beginning of the movie when they're attacking his Death Star or something. Oh, no. You know what? He says it. So the reason he needs a human brain is because he can't go back to Earth on account of there being some sort of force field keeping him out of it.
That's
and he
it.
Says they were able to use a brain as energy to keep him away.
Oh, okay. And then the protagonists, the two of them, crashed to Earth because they felt some kind of unusual force pulling them towards it.
Yeah, so something drew them away from the battle against the Death Star onto Earth, or whatever planet this is. It's Earth, isn't it?
Yes. I believe it's Earth.
Okay.
Yeah, the pyramids are there, for God's sake.
I'm just going to preface the rest of this episode by saying, guys, this movie is confusing as fuck, so we are going to get stuff wrong.
Like, well, yeah, if you're taking this to heart, please, for the love of God.
Yeah, this movie just has, honestly, I know we usually save our thoughts on the movie for the end, but this movie has to be seen to be believed. That's all I'll say right now.
Yes, it's like Santa Claus. You're not going to believe it until you see it.
One of the messages that I sent to the group chat while I was live texting, but I was like, yeah, I'm confused as hell, but you know, I'm like 40 minutes in right now.
God. So yeah.
Oh, I want to mention the actors. When they're fighting in the space scene with all the Star Wars. By the way, all the fight scenes in space were all Star Wars clips, no matter what, except the scenes that cut to like the protagonist sitting in his chair fighting. Mm-hmm. But he was his face didn't show any excitement, any emotion. He just looked to the left, said something, looked back.
Yeah.
Cut back to him, looked to the left again, said something, looked back. What the hell?
But you know what's crazy about that? This guy, Junaid Arkham, the guy you're talking about, that's the name of the actor, Junaid Arkham. Oh. He is like a massive action star in Turkey. He's like their fucking like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Makes sense because all the action scenes are pretty interesting, but his acting ain't good.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just prefacing it. And here's some more trivia for you. He wrote this movie.
Wow. What?
Yeah. He wrote himself as the stoic hero in Turkish Star Wars.
Sounds familiar in other American movies we've seen.
I guess. Anyway, so they crash land on space Egypt, and
it's still Earth, but they just preface it in a different way.
Galaxy era Egypt?
Galaxy era Egypt, yes.
It was so confusing.
And honestly, then just really quick, that sounds like a great name for a TV show, Galaxy Era Rangers or something.
Oh man.
Power Rangers.
Isn't that the power? Yeah, I was gonna say the Power
Rangers.
No,
it's like the weird cross. It's like kind of Star Trek-y, but it is at the end of the day still Power Rangers. Like, all right. Well, wait, fuck. I already forgot the name of the group. What was it? Galaxy Era Rangers.
There is a TV show called The Adventures of the Galaxy Rangers. It has one season. It was made in 1986.
No way.
There is.
Oh, that looks sick.
Oh, my God. It's a cartoon.
Why does the main character look like Fred Astaire?
They're cowboys. They're basically doing the Rough Riders scene. Oh, my God. Nick, it exists.
Go, go, Galaxy Rangers. too many syllables. No wonder it got canceled after one season. Jesus. Right, so they crash land on space Egypt. They get out, and they're kind of like, I wonder where we are. And I wonder why we were drawn here. And then they never really question it again. They just kind of are like, all right, yeah, well, we're here. You know, when in Rome. Sorry, when in space Rome.
They just wake up under dirt for some reason. Like, they, I guess the crash put them under dirt, but there was no, like, ship.
Oh, that's right, because, yeah, they crash land, and you don't see their ships anywhere, which I'm assuming is because, you know, like, the sets were destroyed. But, like, I don't know. You'd think they would just get some scrap. Like, why couldn't they get the wreckage from the set being destroyed and just put that on top of the actors?
Oh, my God.
That makes sense.
You know, besides the fact that it would probably crush them. But, you know, that happens. You're right. They start walking around and they're like, I wonder what planet we're on. And one of them makes, I don't know if you guys have the subtitles on by
I
now.
Saw
but
it.
Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, one of them makes a remark where he's like, what if it's a planet only inhabited by women? And I'm like, Space Amazon? Space Amazons? We got some space Bezos?
But it wasn't just women. He's like, what if it was inhabited by just women in miniskirts?
Oh, it was specifically in miniskirts. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
And then they would observe us and find out who was the most like powerful, the most leader-like, and it'd be like, it'd be obviously be me. They'd be all over me. I'm like, what the fuck?
Which one of them said that?
The main character, the guy who wrote the movie.
Jhené Arkham.
Yeah.
Yeah, his character.
Arkham, in the drinking Arkham game that I sent, Nick, I don't think I sent it to you, Raquan. I don't think I sent it in the group chat, but I found a drinking game, and it was like, take a shot every time they say something sexist. I'm like, I'm going to get drunk, okay? This is going to be bad.
Yeah, that's a bit easy. This movie's, it's from a different era. Let's just leave it at that. But yeah, while they're hiking across the desert, they, like, you remember one of them starts, like, talking, and he's like, oh, I know. We'll find out if there are women on this planet. And he, like, does a whistle to, like, try and attract women, because that's not demeaning at all. And
that's what the whistle was for?
Yeah, the whistle was his, like, attractive female summon whistle.
What?
Yeah. You guys have played Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. You play the song, something happens. It's like that.
Except I guess the tone of his whistle was off because he just attracted, like, zombie warrior people on horses.
Skeletons.
Were they actually skeletons? Because it looked like crap.
Well, no. There were people dressed like skeletons. Jesus. But
were,
like,
they people in the movie, were the people dressed with skeletons, or were they actors dressed supposed to be like skeletons?
They were supposed to be skeletons, but they were just actors in suits.
The suits look really bad.
They look like Halloween costumes. I mean, all of the costumes in this movie did. But yeah, they show up. What's so weird about that is I literally, and this happens repeatedly throughout the movie, he does the whistle, I blinked, I probably took a swig of my drink, and then suddenly there was, like, screaming and fighting on screen. Like, in the time it took me to put my drink back down.
But the fight scene.
And the fighting scenes always lasted forever.
Oh yeah, they were just, literally, I feel like if they had just done a bit more editing on these fighting scenes, we could have gotten a movie that was like an hour and 20 minutes.
I mean, this is, I guess, where his action, like, Schwarzeneggerness comes out here.
Yeah, I guess. He does kick ass. And, like, the for what it's worth, even though the scenes go on way too long, they are fun to watch.
They are. I was going to say that I kind of enjoyed some of the fight scenes. Like,
yeah.
But
yeah, the guys are very bouncy, like jumping off trampolines and ripping each other's heads off. And
very clearly using trampolines to, like, flip over people.
Yo.
Oh, it was great.
The training montage is my favorite thing to ever happen.
That Rocky montage was pretty good.
Yeah,
oh my God.
So the way I discovered this movie was in 2006 or so, when we were in the sixth grade, Mike. Back before YouTube was a thing, back when you watched video on Google Video, I saw a version of the training montage from this movie cut to Push It to the Limit from the Scarface soundtrack.
That's how you found it?
Yeah, and I was like, what is this movie? This looks weird. And then it was Turkish Star Wars, and I was like, oh, okay, well, that's going in the Rolodex.
You know? Seeing them, you know, bench boulders and tie boulders to their legs did it for you.
Not even bench boulders, just tie them to their, like, fucking thighs and then start running.
And then he'd, like, punt a rock into a mountain, and the rock would just explode into a million pieces.
Yeah, it literally just exploded on impact.
It's so good, though. I love it. Like, it's genuinely, I know a lot of people shit on this movie, cough cough you too, but, like, shit, that's fucking awesome.
Dude, he was punching a boulder, or punching just this rock, but it was clear that he was pulling his punches. So just like he was lightly hitting it, but he just made it look so intense. And then he cut it in half.
Wasn't there a moment where he tried to do the thing when you clap someone's like both of their ears at the same time, but he does it to a rock?
Yes.
Yes.
So funny.
And then he chops a rock in half, and then he starts smacking the ground. Uh-huh. And then the kid, and then there's a kid that starts to copy him and falls.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's a kid that's just jumping like this whole time in the background.
I just realized that there was a payoff for a lot of these, you know, weird training moments.
Oh yeah, no, it comes back.
Yeah, he did cut the guy in half in the end, and he did the ear chop thing to a lot of people, and he cut off a lot of those weird.
He chewed up, chopped a lot of limbs off.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, I made a note of one scene in the movie where he straight up grabbed someone's leg, cut it off, and then stabbed someone else with his leg.
Yes.
It's such a Monty Python thing to do.
Yeah, you can't make this shit up. Like, I'm saying it. This movie is fantastic because what is happening? It's so
and then,
irrelevant.
In that same scene, or like in another scene where they're fighting a bunch of furries,
like the weird Elmo looking guys.
Yeah. Yes. Every single person he attacked, he was fighting, he ripped their heads off every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one
he
of them
made a point. There is a point where one of them tries to like bear hug him from behind, and he puts his hands behind his back and just rips the guy's fucking head off.
That's when he stopped giving a fuck. When he just started ripping everyone's limbs off and cutting
all
heads
with
off.
No emotion.
Yeah. But no, the best part of the whole thing where he rips the guy's head off is he ripped his head off, threw it at another mummy, and that mummy just exploded. I made a note of that.
Yo, that's everything you guys just said was something I was going to make a note of too. I was like, that looks like a mutated Elmo, and he keeps attacking these furries. Like, they're just, it just looks like people in these really bad costumes, like super bad, but they all look like Elmo.
Yeah, like dollar store Halloween costumes.
How do you think the guys in the suits felt being in the desert doing this in those suits?
I honestly, besides the fact that they obviously hated it, like they couldn't have liked doing this, right? Apparently, so the costumes were very delicate and they would get like absolutely torn to shreds. But because they were so low on money, because, you know, everything was destroyed, apparently the set designers or the costume designers would have to like sew the costumes back together overnight and then watch them get destroyed again the next day.
Oh.
So
and they probably saved all the cutting heads off and limbs off for the last day of shooting.
It was just days straight of filming decapitation scenes. It's kind of like how they do the intro to the Eric Andre Show. I don't know if you guys know this, but you know how every episode of that show like starts with Eric Andre destroying the set?
Yeah.
That is the last thing they shoot every season. And it's literally just a week of Eric Andre abusing his body. So, you know, there's a bit of trivia for you today.
And our next guest, a bear. My God, it's a fucking bear.
Oh my God, it's a fucking bear. then, oh man, I might watch Eric Andre tonight, honestly.
Oh, who's his co-host? His name is forgetting.
Hannibal.
Yeah, Hannibal's just like, I'm out of here.
I'm fucking out of here.
Whack.
Why are you booing me? I'm right.
another thing this movie likes to do with it's like other than its action scenes is have like really close up scenes of people's faces, really close up, with no emotion too. Uh-huh. Keep that in mind. No emotion.
Well, one character always has an emotional close up. It's the female love interest, and I mean she is the female love interest, but her entire character, I kid you not, is relegated to a close up of her smiling shyly.
So awkward, like
it
happened so much, and she didn't even speak until like the end of the movie. So she would, the only time she was on camera was when she was looking at him and smiling, and it was so weird. But he did the same thing. He would just look at her, like just stare, and then she would just smile.
It's so half-assed. It's almost as if they went, yeah, I mean, these movies usually need a love interest, and they just like got a caterer to stand there. That, I feel like that's what happened. I don't know. That's just me.
Like, we want you to show emotion. She does the smile that you described. It's like, hey, that's too much emotion. Hey. We don't want to overwhelm the audience.
This is 80s Turkey. Trying to, come on now. Jesus. There are kids watching, okay?
I didn't think she was ever going to talk.
Yeah, I'm surprised she ever got any dialogue in this movie.
Her son spoke a few times, and she barely ever did.
Mm-hmm. So going back a bit, so when these guys fight the skeletons a bit later, they like find another group of people like fighting, like gladiators or something. And I made a note of this. I had to bring it up because I remembered it from the first time I watched this movie several years ago. Do you guys remember the scene where a robot showed up out of nowhere and just started strangling a kid and the main character just watches that?
Like, why is this happening?
Like, literally, they were watching some people fight. There was like a group of people watching. And then the next thing I knew, a kid was getting choked out by the robot from Forbidden Planet.
What the hell? And then the dad's like, take my life instead of my son's. And he gets whacked in the face with a morning star.
Yeah, that's right. He gets whacked in the face with a morning star, and the main character just watches this all happen
with a straight face, with smoldering intensity. That's it, because I learned that from Jumanji.
I knew that's what you were getting.
Smoldering
that from.
Look,
but like that literally happens, and then we get like a weird dialogue scene between the main character and his friend, who had also crash landed with him, and they're like. They're like looking around and they're like talking about how this planet probably succumbed to nuclear war and how he's like, I've learned over the years that nuclear holocaust is caused by people not knowing how to laugh. That's like basically a line of dialogue that's actually said in this movie. And I'm like, what?
And then the friend starts laughing. Yeah. He's like, oh, they don't know. They don't know that yet. Like,
They don't know. But once they get nukes, they're all fucked.
And also, I completely forgot when he's doing the training montage, when he had the boulders tied to him, he starts off like with a nice slow walk, then starts to run, and then over jumps. He like trampoline jumping with the boulders still tied to his feet, jumping as high as he possibly can with these friggin' boulders. Haphazardly tied to his ankles. I'm like, what the hell?
So there was actually a point to that training montage, by the way.
There was?
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, well, we need action. It's been 5 minutes since he's decapitated somebody. Basically, that scene exists for the main character to, basically get used to the gravity of the planet. That's why he ties the boulders to his legs, because he's like, I need to add weight so that I can get used to the gravity. It's kind of like Goku and Dragon Ball, how he does like the weighted clothes and stuff.
Yeah, like when he's training in his spaceship going across with the spaceship that turned the gravity up to like 100 times Earth's gravity. And
yeah, exactly. It's that.
Since you mentioned that, do you guys remember when Yamcha went into one of those and almost fucking killed himself? That's such a meme.
This is Yamcha.
Okay, so like derailing the conversation further, like I like Yamcha. I'll fight anybody that doesn't. I know he's a joke in Dragon Ball Z, but Dragon Ball Yamcha was cool.
He is cool. He's a ladies' man.
Mm-hmm.
He's stupid. My baseball. Wolf Fang fist.
No, yeah, I love in the filler how they just like of the Saiyan saga, they show Yamcha as a baseball player and he is so bored. I like him. I like his character. I just canceled my Funimation Now subscription because I was like, I'm not going to actually watch all of Dragon Ball, am I? And I might get it back. I don't know.
That was just like last week that you got
it. I know,
it,
I still have the
Dragon
trial
Ball's
probably.
On Hulu, I think.
In Japanese.
You want to watch? Oh, it's in Japanese on Hulu?
Yeah, I want it in English for the nostalgia factor. Yeah. So basically they're exploring around. They get captured and they are introduced to the wizard who basically tells them like, all right, so I'm an evil wizard and I want a human brain so that I can take over or maybe destroy the Earth. I don't know. I'm gonna wing it.
Feeling cute.
Feeling cute. Might blow up the planet.
Again,
because it wasn't it destroyed already? I don't know. But he basically shows them that he has a golden brain in a box. And he's like, yep, this is like a super powerful weapon, yada, yada, yada. You can probably kill me if you have this and any other ancient artifacts here. I don't know why I'm telling you guys this. Has anyone got any more peppermint schnapps for me?
Apparently he's a peppermint schnapps guy, too.
Yeah, well, you know, he's an immortal wizard. What does he got to live for?
He's immortal. He's got to keep it up. He's got to live in the lap of luxury for as long as he could.
Yeah, exactly.
Peppermint Schnapps is in.
If you were immortal, Mike, wouldn't you just totally let yourself go?
I mean, okay, now, that's a question. If you're immortal, do you still gain weight like a normal person, or you just get fat and you can live forever as like my one-ton life?
So I think you would still be like, I don't think being immortal just stops your metabolism, if that's what you're asking.
You kidding me? So I'm immortal, but still have to keep my health in check?
Sure. You still got to keep the temple dusted and whatever people do to keep temples clean.
I always thought you would just freeze wherever you're at, you know, if you become immortal.
Oh, but yeah. What if you were like out of shape when you became immortal? Wouldn't that suck? Like, would you literally,
would suck.
If you find like this immortality potion, do you just hold off on it for 6 months so you can go to like a 24-hour fitness?
Get your summer bod going and be like, all right, we're good. Peaked.
All right, cool. Summer bod. And I'm going to, you know what? I could go for a single Corona and then your metabolism comes crashing back.
You just explode.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I feel like, well, here's the thing. I think if you get immortality, you don't actually, like, I don't think you freeze. I think that you can still gain and lose weight as is.
But do you age too?
No, I don't think you age anymore.
So why the hell is my age freezing and nothing else?
Shut the fuck up. That's why.
People who are immortal poop? Does their digestion work the same? Or does it take a little longer because they're immortal?
How does that make any sense?
Hey, sloths move slow and they don't poop every once a week or some baloney.
Okay, but we're talking about like physical movement. How does becoming immortal change the way your intestines work?
I don't know. Maybe you're like an owl and you just vomit a pellet up after that. I'm like...
You keep relating us to animals, and I'm pretty sure that means you don't know what immortality is.
Wait, relating us to animals? Are you and Raekwon immortal? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
God damn it, Nick.
Raekwon's like, you weren't supposed to tell him we were immortal. See, my question is, if you become immortal, does that mean you can't die, or does it mean you can't die from old age?
You just can't die.
So if
die,
I shoot
like,
you?
Period.
No, because in some cases, because immortal and invulnerable are different, you know? Invulnerable means nothing can hurt you. Immortal means you can't die, I think, from age.
There is a movie that...
There's got to be, like, a loophole.
There's a movie that discusses this. It's called Death Becomes Her with Meryl Streep and... what's the other one? And Goldie Hawn. Where they drink this elixir that gives them eternal life, but if they say like they break a bone, it's not going to heal. In one part of the movie, one of them falls down the stairs and breaks their neck, but she's still alive, and now she's considered dead. She doesn't have a heartbeat anymore, so her neck's broken.
But what happens? Still there.
But she's alive, but her neck doesn't heal. So they basically towards the end, she's like they're like falling apart. And one of them has a hole in their chest, and they're immortal, but they're not invincible.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, I guess. I feel like there's always a catch with immortality. It's like there's a web video I saw ages ago where it's like, all right, you saved up enough money, to get a surgery to become Wolverine from X-Men, but Wolverine has two powers, and you can only afford one: mutant healing or the claws.
Mutant healing, because the claws hurt.
Exactly, but they get the claws instead, and they're just screaming because, like, you know, obviously it hurts to get the claws in and out of your hands.
Imagine wiping your butt and then the claws accidentally extending out, and you don't have the healing.
Jesus
Christ!
See, that's why Wolverine's body got the healing with this, because there'd be so many accidents by it.
Yeah. It's so true. Like, I don't know. I actually just genuinely love that is like, there's always a catch, guys. That's the moral of the story.
Catch 22.
Yeah. Anyway, the wizard's like, yep, so don't take my super awesome golden brain. And
don't look for the golden sword that can take me out too.
Yes, don't take the golden sword that can probably kill me. And we're going to let you go. Get us a human brain. And yeah, cool.
You do you, guys.
He literally, that's how it goes, though. He's like, oh, yeah, so, like, get me a human brain. But they're both human beings. Why doesn't he just be like, cool, so I'm going to cut your head open and get your brain and then be done?
Because they have the willpower. That's the problem. They have to have no willpower. That's why he, at one point, he throws them and buries them alive to torture them to break their will so he can get their juices.
But he does use that was so weird, though. What was the point of that?
Because there's a scene that where he sends the furries in to kill the people that he was in, the guys were imprisoned with, the people that are the villagers. And after that scene, they put people in a hole, and then the wizard drinks their blood through a silly straw. And I guess that helps him get stronger for a bit. And then that's how he does it. And I think he wanted to drink the blood of one of the others. And it's weird. He's a vampire. He's a wizard vampire.
Best fan fiction I've ever heard.
He's a galactic vampire wizard.
Yeah, exactly. It's galaxy era wizardry. Come on now. Like, just get with
anything
it.
Anything is possible.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so they leave. Yeah. And one of them leaves. Because, like, doesn't one of them, like, get captured or something while the other's escaping?
Yes.
That's right. And then the main character is like, oh, no, I have to go get my friend, but first I'm gonna have like several more fight scenes probably.
But before that, there's another basic Star Wars scene. They basically go to the cantina, and the first scene is it's like some animal drinking out of a cup, and it pulls off is basically a werewolf. And
oh, that's from Star Wars though.
That scene is from Star Wars, but the whole scene going on in there is
but the werewolf with the cup of thing, that shot is from the original A New Hope.
Really?
It got changed in the special editions into a more fantastic looking monster. But this is where I get to pretend I'm smart again. Basically, when they were shooting the cantina scene, they like didn't have the money or the resources or the technology to make all of the monsters they wanted to. So they just started grabbing whatever they could find. Hence, wow. Werewolf.
And one of the guys was wearing like an African war mask.
I think that was from this movie. That wasn't Star Wars, I think.
Yeah, I know. That couldn't have been from Star Wars.
Yeah. Right. I think what we did was we might have condensed things a little bit. What happens is they get captured like two or three times in this movie.
God damn.
Like, for these so-called invincible Turkish warriors, they are really bad at avoiding capture.
Got captured on purpose, though.
Yeah, he got, because wasn't it because he like wanted to learn about what was happening or something?
Yeah.
Was that the one that dies?
I think so. Yeah. I don't honestly know, dude.
It was the one that died.
Gotcha.
See, Raekwon got it.
Whatever.
Spoilers.
They leave the bar after breaking up a fight, and what the hell happens after that?
They get captured again.
God and damn it.
That's when that's when one of them is left in captivity while the other gets away with the woman he likes and the kid.
That's right. And they're taken to the ship.
I don't know why they're there to begin with. I actually don't remember that at all. I just know that the woman and kid were there eventually.
Because the wizard kidnapped them.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, but that's still dumb.
Yeah. But the main character changes, and he's wearing this like blue loose vinyl jacket with two red spots on either side of the pecs, and I think they just look like giant nipples.
I thought he looks like a guy who's trying to like host a tour at Disney, like he's trying to host a galaxy tour or something.
It looks like they cut holes in the shirts where the nipples are, and it's like the Mean Girls thing where she cuts the circles out and shows the bra, and then one starts doing it.
Oh,
You've seen Mean Girls? Or are you just agreeing with me?
No. I love Mean Girls. Is actually like a fucking great movie. It's one of Tina Fey's best works.
Is Tina Fey in that?
She wrote it.
Really?
She was in it too.
Yeah, she was in it. Wasn't she a teacher?
She was the teacher, the math teacher.
That's awesome.
For some reason, I thought that was Paul Rudd, and then I realized I was thinking of Perks of Being a Wallflower.
It's on Netflix now.
It is on Netflix. I might have to rewatch it. I do like that movie quite a bit. Even though people like shit on it, I'm like, relate. I like that movie. It takes me back to high school.
Yeah, I like that movie too.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, back to this movie. Yeah, they get away from the wizard again, and one of them is left behind. And the main character, he eventually discovers like a sword in the mountains that's like underground or something. I honestly don't remember
but
the specifics
the,
of
there's
it.
There's an old man there, like the elder, that explains about his past. And he's like, the people in this, there used to be a thing called religion. And the religion here was Islam. And that was the main religion. And then anyone who, and then there was a divide and the people stopped believing in Muhammad and Islam. And those became the evil people. And so they're basically saying that everyone else is evil except the people who worship Islam. And that's why he's the hero. And it got really religious at one point. And I was like, what?
I honestly think I just tuned that part of the movie out. Like, I genuinely think I just like saw that starting to happen. And I was like, oh, this is a really good time to check my email.
Oh, it was weird.
Yeah, it's really eccentric because it's just like repeated vamping, honestly. Like, there are moments where I'm like listening to people talk to each other and I'm like, can we get back to the part where he was using a trampoline to decapitate a bear? You know, right? Wasn't there a monster which was literally just a grizzly bear and he's like doing backflips over it for like 30 seconds?
Yes. Yes, that was
like,
exactly.
Whoa, he's really good at fighting.
Whoa, trampolines. Yeah. He's got moon shoes on.
That was probably lasted so long because they kept using the same shots during the fight scenes.
That's
like,
right.
He'd be fighting the same person and they'd show him punching him a bunch of times, like in between him kicking another person or whatever. Like, the fight scenes lasted so long.
And sometimes like the edits don't match. Like, it'll cut when he's like upside down doing a flip, and then it'll cut to a shot of him punching the bear standing up. I love it. It's so good.
It's so weird.
There's also some of the shots from Star Wars at the beginning of the movie were played backwards, which is great.
Oh, and also remember, every fight scene is basically the Indiana Jones theme, and when it's the woman, it's the Star Wars theme with the love music, and it's oh my god.
Of the movie is the Battlestar Galactica music.
Yep. At least during the fights is I can enjoy the Indiana Jones theme and sing along to that.
It fits really well for the fight scenes, though. Can it really be real? Like,
no.
Yeah,
Indiana Jones theme was kind of like the main character's theme, though. Like, that's what I picked up on. It played every time he was fighting. And it was like usually just him fighting. For some reason, they kind of just threw the other guy in, like, in the fight scenes, but it was mainly just him.
Yeah, it was the main character for the most part doing the fighting. There was one scene where both of them were fighting together and they stop. Like, the Indiana Jones music is playing. They're kicking ass. They stop. They look at each other. They have very forced dialogue over nothing else. Nobody is attacking them. No music, no sound effects. And then the music starts playing and they start punching again. And you're just like, okay, this is ridiculous. But yeah, ultimately the hero gets the sword that he was like questing for that'll help him defeat the wizard. No, he gets the brain after the fact, doesn't he?
No, the sword and the brain were at the same time.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
And then after that,
they weren't, were they?
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. The sword and the brain are together.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
And then the girl talks because like I had to keep the secret so I couldn't talk to anyone until that was found. I was like, oh, okay. Cool. So you kept a vow of silence till it was the right hands.
You kept a vow of silence, but like this vow of silence was tied to the weapons that would have literally liberated your planet.
It seems
like a weird time to be good at listening. I don't know.
So then what happens is first thing that happens before the weird part is that the main character's buddy comes back. He's like, okay, give me the sword. He's like, oh, all right, fine, I'll give you the sword. And then he gives it to the elder to do something with because the elder was there too. And it turns out the elder was the wizard in disguise. I was like, oh my God. And then the wizard stabs him. And he's like, oh. And then his death scene is like, I'm not going to die on you like that. And he goes, bleh, and he dies.
Yeah, that's right. So the friend just straight up, he gets 86'd. And can we talk about the sword for a second? The sword is so weird looking. I wrote down in my notes that it looks like the kind of Kingdom Hearts Keyblade that like a sixth grader would design, and Believe me, I would know. I designed many a sword back in college and high school and elementary school and middle school. I didn't get out much, guys.
Like a swords man.
I'm a sword man.
It's like lightning bolts with a chainsaw lightning bolt sword, like Harry Potter style scars. Like, what the hell?
It looks like, you guys remember when the Force Awakens trailer came out and everyone was surprised with Kylo Ren's lightsaber?
Mm-hmm.
There was a meme where someone took the Kylo Ren lightsaber and they added little mini lightsabers coming out of the entire side of the sword. That's what this sword looked like. It's like a sword, but all along it, it has like more swords coming out of it, kind of like little daggers almost.
Yes.
And the main character never uses the sword as a sword. He always holds it flat and bops them on the head with it. He doesn't
break
it.
Yeah.
He boops.
Boops.
But he then after just the, shoved it like he went. It was just like a forward out. Motion. You know, there's no slashing involved.
Yeah, he uses it more like a club.
Because because him using it with a swish swish stab wasn't working out too well with him.
Why wouldn't, if he can karate chop a guy's leg off, Mike? I'm pretty sure he can use a sword just as well.
Because in that training montage, he only trained to use his hand to fight rocks. Okay, he didn't train for swords. Like, I didn't get that. This wasn't in my job description. All right,
He doesn't have the right permit to use it as a sword.
Which makes sense because in the next scene, he's like, I can't use a sword. So he melts down the sword and the brain and makes infinity gauntlets.
I wrote that too.
See, thank God.
I said that he made infinity gauntlets and boots. Which is so stupid. Like, dude, you have a sword and you're like, you know what, my hands are kind of cold, let me make some infinity mittens.
I feel like snapping something out of in the universe.
When he made the infinity gauntlets, is that when he started just chopping people's limbs and heads off?
No, it was before that.
Okay.
He was straight up decapitating folks before he had infinity mittens.
When he had the infinity mittens, that's when he just burst through the door. Not even through a door. It was just through the mountain.
Dude, like, where do you think he got these like mittens and boots, by the way? Do you think there's like a Galaxy-era Burlington that just has infinity mittens?
Dude, he just dipped his hands into the hot metal in his brain. Right in. And they come out as infinity mittens.
How the hell did they get this detail?
Oh my God, is it engraved? It has his name on it. How the fuck did he do that?
Yeah, apparently he does with his feet, but they didn't show that.
Yeah, I was confused by that too.
Well, it was deemed too erotic for Turkish audiences, so they had to cut it out.
His feet being dipped in hot metal and seared brain.
Yeah, I heard they stole a Barry White song for that scene. No, so it's funny you mentioned that. That probably was filmed. Apparently the first cut of this movie was like 2.5 hours long and they had to just cut an hour of it.
Jesus.
45 minutes of it was probably fighting.
Yeah, 45 minutes was probably fighting. Another 10 minutes was more like erotic infinity mitten shit. I don't know. The infinity mittens and the infinity uggs.
Infinity uggs.
But yeah, that happens, and he basically gets his little gauntlet and boots, and he runs up to the wizard and just kicks the shit out of him.
Well, he fights an army.
Yeah, it's literally Captain America storming Thanos' army by himself. Like, and he just fucking drops everybody.
Of course, but I don't know why he didn't snap his finger and all poof. Oh, right, because it didn't come out yet.
Yeah, it didn't exist yet, my God. The Infinity Gauntlet comics, that was like in the 80s. That was after this.
You think if Infinity War came out at this time and had the Thanos snap in it, you think they would have stole that scene?
Like the Turkish Infinity War.
I'd watch that.
I would watch the hell out of a Turkish Infinity War. Are you kidding me? For what it's worth, I'm going to watch more of these Turkish mockbusters. Like, these are fantastic. I love it.
Yeah. One thing I will say about the action star is that he reminded me of like someone. Okay. So this whole thing reminded me of like a Family Guy bit where they're like back in the old days, you know, the black and white TV shows. These guys that were supposed to be these tough guys were just out of shape and they would just have their pants really high up. And that's what he was like to me. Like when during the training montage, I'm like, he is not in that good of a shape. I don't know.
He's not like he's not in bad shape, but
no,
he's not in great shape either.
Maybe for his age.
Yeah, I don't know.
As the protagonist gets closer and closer to the wizard, the wizard, he starts sending not TIE fighters, X-Wings. And the Death Star getting ready to fire at the planet, which it does fire at the planet for some reason, but and it explodes, but the planet's still there, so I'm still confused. The X-Wings start coming in, they start fighting that, and then...
Yeah.
And then he kills the wizard?
I don't know. I don't even remember how. How does he kill the wizard, guys? I don't even know.
He chops him in half.
He karate chopped him in half straight down the middle.
And he kept, like, gripping his face. That was one thing. Instead of punching him, well, I'm sure he did punch him, too, but when he was just kicking the shit out of him, he kept just grabbing his face. They just kept showing that shot of him grabbing his face, and then he just gradually chopped this man in half. Like, insane. Literally.
I love it. It's so incredible. And then, yeah, doesn't he? He kills the wizard, and then he just leaves the planet, and he's like, all right, well, I'm leaving. Bye. And then it just cuts to the Millennium Falcon leaving.
Yep, pretty much.
That's the movie.
I thought it was weird that he told the son that he loved him. The son of the love interest.
I love you very much, and I'll never forget you. Gets in the Millennium Falcon. All right.
He didn't say that to the love interest, though.
Can't wait for the sequel, The Ottoman Empire Strikes Back. I can't take credit for that joke. There was a YouTube video that went over the history of this movie that I watched that ended with the Ottoman Empire Strikes Back. And I'm like, that's such a good gag. I can't in good conscience use that without crediting them. But yeah, that's Turkish Star Wars. The biggest fever dream ever committed to cinema, arguably.
I think in the last episode we watched Battle Beyond the Stars, I said that this was Battle Beyond the Stars was the most obscure thing that we've watched, but I agree with Mike. This is definitely the weirdest thing that this is the weirdest thing I've ever watched. So,
oh man, Raekwon, you haven't been friends with me for long enough. This is the tip of the iceberg.
Oh yeah, Nick's fortunately right.
No, but like the other weird movies, Mike, in the defense of it, none of them are as fun as this. Like,
fine, yeah, we had a lot of fun talking about this.
The weird movies that I watch are like, you know, art house films that like aren't funny, you know. This movie is fantastic. Like, it is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It makes no sense with or without subtitles, but like, I'm gonna watch this again. I know I am.
I'd show people this just to make like poke fun at it.
This is like, it's literally, I mean, it goes without saying because it's known as a midnight movie. This is the movie you put on at midnight when nobody's talking about anything anymore and you're just all hanging out, but no one wants to call it a night. You put on Turkish Star Wars and you watch 2 hours zoom by.
Like, oh, I thought you were going to say, like, you put that on and then that's what makes people leave because they don't want to sit through this. I'm going to head out. This is getting weird.
It's like when you're it's like at a bar when, like, it's last round, they start playing Closing Time on the speakers. That's what this movie is. No, I mean, I genuinely think this movie would, this is a great movie to have on in the background at a party without the subtitles.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, like, this is the definition of a conversation piece. Like,
and it didn't get a bad rating on IMDb. It got 4.5 out of 10. It's still not bad.
It's pretty bad. But, like, it's not all accounts, I mean, yeah, it's not crazy bad. Yeah, this movie's beloved. Like, genuinely, people do like this movie. So much so that a couple of years ago, someone found what is believed to be the only existing print of this movie. Because this movie got a very limited release and the copies were destroyed after the fact because film preservation in Turkey wasn't a thing. And also, I'm sure having Star Wars footage didn't help. But apparently, one projectionist, reported the film as too damaged to be returned and kept it. And not only did he keep it, guys, someone bought it, did their best to restore it. It's still in sorry condition. And he toured it around the country like a year or two ago. where you could actually watch this movie in theaters in 35 millimeter quality. So in high quality. God.
Wow.
Is this becoming like Rocky Horror Picture Show? That kind of movie where it's showing a certain time of year?
This movie already has like a Rocky Horror kind of legacy. Maybe not to the extent of Rocky Horror, but people like cult film lovers, retro film lovers, obscure, strange cinema lovers, they do know Turkish Star Wars. They love Turkish Star Wars, you know? It's just such a... It's hard not to love it because the fact that it exists is like mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. You have to think, like, stealing footage from a movie and using it in another movie in the 80s wasn't the easiest thing to do, especially to the extent that they do it here, where they're using it for special effects shots. These days, any asshole with, like, Adobe Premiere or Windows Movie Maker can do it, but, like, back then it was a bit harder. Also worth mentioning, like, I don't know if I mentioned it in this episode, but Turkey had a huge knockoff film market. I mean, not just Turkey. The whole, like, outside of Hollywood system has a huge market of knockoff movies.
Yeah, there Bollywood, is, Turkey.
Yeah. There's Bollywood knockoffs of famous American films. There's a Bollywood version of The Evil Dead, and it is exactly what you're thinking it is. It is The Evil Dead. Bollywood.
But there's also a Terminator version, too.
Yeah, I think there's a Vietnamese version of the Terminator that changes Arnold Schwarzenegger's character into a woman. And it's apparently, by all accounts, a fine movie.
Hmm.
There's Turkish Rambo. There's Turkish Spider-Man. There's Turkish Superman.
There's Turkish Spider-Man.
Yup.
So I guess that's how you know your movie's doing really good, if Turkey starts reproducing it.
I guess so. I think the reason why Turkey did it, like, especially... is because there was like a ban on foreign films or something. It was something to that extent where they're like, American films weren't really getting to Turkey to begin with, I think, in great numbers. So they just took it upon themselves to remake the movies they thought would make money.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's Turkish Star Wars. Raekwon, would you recommend it to anybody, or do you ever see yourself watching this again?
I think I'd watch it again, but I would not recommend it to anyone. That's for sure.
What a strange... okay. So you see yourself torturing yourself with it, but like, you don't think anyone else would ever get a kick out of it necessarily.
I mean, I would watch it again because one of the things that you texted us beforehand was like, alcohol helps. And I think this movie would be really funny if I was drinking, but
yeah.
So I would watch it again for that reason, but I wouldn't say like recommend this movie to a Star Wars fan.
Okay. I dig it. I respect it. I said it already. I love this movie. I saw it 2 or 3 years ago for the first time with your brother, actually, Mike. And
you saw it with John?
Yeah, I saw it with John. This is when I was interning at a media company. I had like gotten home from work that day. I had come back with our friend Jackson. Thera was with us, and John had come over, and we watched Turkish Star Wars. I think you were with your girlfriend, and like you couldn't come out, but like literally, John just watched the rest of us get like shit faced drunk and watch this movie without subtitles, and he was so confused and so lost during it, and we were just like, dude, honestly, so are we.
It's okay. It's fine.
It's funny. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, that brings us.
Oh, wait, no, what are you not going to ask me?
Yeah, you said you were going to show it to people. You said it already. Go ahead. Say it. How are you going to show it to people? You enjoy this movie? Mike, how's this movie? Mike, tell us what you think of this movie, Mike.
God damn it, Nick.
Come on, Mike. Tell me. Come here, Mike. Jesus, is anyone else like stiff now?
It's what? What the fuck? Let me speak.
Okay. I'm just saying, I'm hard as a board.
I think this movie is interesting. It's not a boring movie. I'll tell you that. It's not boring. Okay. It's bad, but it's interesting. Okay. I would say people should watch it just because it's funny, but watch it ironically, not just because you're like Nick and you enjoy it.
Well, okay. No, like there's a lot. Let me explain why I enjoy it. I love kitschy kind of like so bad it's good cinema to begin with. So I am enjoying it ironically. You asshole. I'm not looking at this and going like, my God, it's the next Citizen Kane.
Is it?
That'd be ridiculous. I want Turkish Citizen Kane. That's what I want.
I don't.
You don't. I want a version of Citizen Kane where old ass Kane in the wheelchair is decapitating bears and like weird Elmo looking things. That's what I want for Christmas.
Of course you do.
Yeah. No, I enjoy this movie, ironically, and you know, it's a lot of fun. You can really, let's put it like this. If you need something that you know you're not going to fully watch attentively, it works. It definitely gets the job done. It also works for like party situations, like I said earlier. That said, I believe that brings us to the end of this week's episode of the podcast. If you guys have seen Turkish Star Wars before, please tell us. Please like tweet us or something and just be like, yeah, I saw this movie and then my wife left me. Or just like tell us your life story. I don't know. If you have ideas for future episodes, things you want us to check out and discuss, feel free to tweet it or DM it to us on Instagram. Our tags on both are at The Media Obscura. And next week on the show, we've got a much more focused episode. This one was really loose, you know? looser than me on prom night. And what are we doing next week, guys? Do you remember what we discussed earlier?
It's not Soul Man. That's like 2 weeks from now.
It was Boba Tet or whatever.
Bubba Hotep.
Bubba Hotep. That's right. So next week on the podcast, we're going to be covering Bubba Hotep, the Bruce Willis, not Bruce Willis, the Bruce Campbell movie,
Campbell.
Where he plays a retiree who believes that he is Elvis Presley and has to protect a retirement home from a mummy. You can't make this shit up.
Someone did make it up.
Someone did, I guess. It's actually a biographical film, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Anyway, we do hope you enjoyed this week's episode, you guys. If you did, feel free to send it to a buddy of yours, a pal, a person you're interested in. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be like way cooler, way cuter than sending someone like a dozen roses? You just send them a podcast.
Very.
Like, hey, will you go to prom with me, Y/N, and then you send them a link to this.
There you go. That's the way to do it. Nick's a ladies man. He knows.
Yes, I'm clearly a ladies man. I get all the dates on my Nintendo 64.
On my Commodore 64?
Yeah, I got all the dates on my Commodore 64. Cuts to me looking at a calendar on it. 365. Wait, it was leap year. No!
Oh, no.
I was so close. I almost had date bingo.
Date bingo.
Anyway, yeah, we do hope you enjoyed this episode, guys. And bye.
Love you.
See ya.